So it's a very great pleasure to be here for the first time in Slovenia, Ljubljana, at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Panchatatra Prabhu, be here at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and to be here with all the devotees of Ljubljana Yatra. It's a very great pleasure for me today. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Maharaj Rahugana meets Jar Bharat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shasta Bigopta Nripati Prajanam Yaha Kinkaro Vai Na Panasti Pishtam Swadharmam Aradhanam Achutasya Yan Ihamano Vijahati Agogham Shasta Bigopati Nirpati Prajanam Yakinkaro Vaina Panasti Pishtam Swadharma Maradhana Machutasya Yad Ihamano Vijahat Yagogam Yahat Yagogam Shasta Vigopta Nripati Prajanam Yakinkaro Vaina Pinasti Pishtam Swadharma Maradhana Machutasya Yad Ihamano Vijahat Yagogam Sasta Bigopta Nripati Prajanam Yakinkaro Vaina Pinasti Pishtam Swadharma Maradhana Machutasya Yad Ihamano Vijahat Yagogam
Swadharma Maradhana Machutasya
Ladies? Shasta, the governor. Abhigopta, a well-wisher of the citizens. As a father is a well-wisher of his children. Nripati, the king. Prajanam, of the citizens. Yaha, one who. Kinkaraha, order carrier. Vai, indeed. Na, not. Pinasti pishtam, grinds what is already ground. Svadharmam, one's own occupational duty. Aradhanam, worshipping. Achutasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yat, which. Ihamanaha, performing. Vijahati, they were released from. Aga ogam, all kinds of sinful activity and faulty action. Translation, my dear sir, you have said that the relationship between the king and the subject or between the master and servant are not eternal. But although such relationships are temporary, when a person takes the position of a king, his duty is to rule the citizens and punish those who are disobedient to the laws. By punishing them, he teaches the citizens to obey the laws of the state. Again, you have said that punishing a person who is deaf and dumb is like chewing the chewed or grinding the pulp. That is to say, there is no benefit in it. However, if one is engaged in his own occupational duty, as ordered by the Supreme Lord, his sinful activities are certainly diminished. Therefore, if one is engaged in his occupational duty by force, he benefits because he can vanquish all sinful activities in that way. It's too long purport to repeat, all right? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This argument offered by Maharaj Rahuguna is certainly very effective. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Tasmat kenapyapayena mana Krishna niveshayet. Somehow or other, one should engage in Krishna consciousness. Actually, every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. But due to forgetfulness, a living entity engages himself as an eternal servant of Maya. As long as one is engaged in Maya's service, he cannot be happy. Our Krishna conscious movement aims at engaging people in Lord Krishna's service. That will help them become freed from all material contamination and sinful activity. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 10. Vitaraga bhaya krodha. By becoming detached from material activities, we will be freed from fear and anger. By austerity, one becomes purified and eligible to return home, back to Godhead. The duty of the king is to rule his citizens in such a way that they can become Krishna conscious. This would be very beneficial for everyone. Unfortunately, the king or president engages people in sense gratification instead of the Lord's service, and such activities are certainly not beneficial for anyone. King Rahuguna tried to engage Jad Bharat in carrying the palanquin, which is a form of sense gratification for the king. However, if one is engaged as a palanquin carrier in the Lord's service, that is certainly beneficial. In this godless civilization, If a president engages people somehow or other in devotional service or the awakening of Krishna consciousness, he renders the very best service to the citizens. Shasta bigopta nripati prajanam ya kinkaro vaina pinasti pishtam swadharma maradhanam achutasya yad ihamano vijahat yagogam. My dear sir, you have said that the relationship between the king and the subject, or between the master and the servant, are not eternal. But although such relationships are temporary, when a person takes the position of a king, his duty is to rule the citizens and punish those who are disobedient to the laws. By punishing them, he teaches the citizens to obey the laws of the state. Again, you have said that punishing a person who is deaf and dumb is like chewing the chewed or grinding the pulp. That is to say, there is no benefit in it. However, if one is engaged in his own occupational duty, as ordered by the Supreme Lord, his sinful activities are certainly diminished. Therefore, if one is engaged in his occupational duty by force, he benefits because he can vanquish all sinful activities in that way. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Didati Svapadandigam Aradhanastrinandantai Ridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupapadam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavan Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual masters opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So in this portion, Maharaj Rahugana has understood that Jhard Bharat is not an ordinary person. But still, he's trying to argue with him. You say that the relationship of the king and his subjects, master and his servant, these are all not eternal. But still, it is a duty of the king to rule the citizens and chastise the miscreants. But Prabhupada explains in the purport that the real business of the king is to try to awaken Krishna consciousness in the citizens. Because it is stated in Shastra, Jai Sisi Panchatattva Prabhu Ki Jai, that the king will have to suffer 1/6 of the karma of all his citizens. So if he simply allows them to perform activities of sense gratification and so many sinful activities, then he's going to suffer in so many ways. He may be enjoying just like a king now, relishing, ordering so many people, everybody follows his order, whatever he says. He has great opulence. He can eat very nicely. He has so many queens. He's enjoying like anything. Just like Prabhupada always told the story of the one sage. He was walking. He saw different people. So he saw the king's son, who's enjoying almost on the level of the king, we can understand. He said, "My dear boy, may you live for a long time." Then he saw a nice brahmachari. He said, "My dear boy, may you die immediately." Then he saw the saintly person. He said, "Either you die or you live." And he saw the butcher, and he said, neither die nor live. Neither live nor die. So why he gave different benedictions? To the king's son, he's enjoying sense gratification like anything. By some previous good karma, he has become the son of the king. So he will enjoy so much sense gratification. But after enjoying sense gratification and so many sinful activities, then he's going to suffer like anything. And here we see that the king, he has to suffer the 1/6 of the karma. So he says, better you don't die. You live a long time. Because now you will enjoy, but after your death, you're going to suffer like anything. And to the brahmachari, he said, you die immediately. Because now, brahmachari, achar, we know this word achar, brahmachar, the behavior of the Supreme. Brahmachari, he's free from all types of attachments. Just like we see when people come to India, just like my driver one time, he sent car for somebody, some nice family that we both know very well. He sent taxi for them. But he didn't realize he was sending taxi. He was thinking in his own terms. So he sent taxi for ordinary person, but he didn't know householder means he has so many bags. He could not fit them in the car. He had to order another car. So not like that. Brahmachari, he just pack up his bag and go. Temple president said, now you go on traveling Sankirtan, just roll up his sleeping bag and his japa bag and his suchi kit and jump in the car and go. Not so many Samsonite suitcases. Very simple life. Simply chanting, serving the spiritual master. He's living spiritual life. Brahmachari. The behavior of someone who's liberated. So better he die now. Now he's engaged in, he's free from all material attachments. Who knows what will happen in the future? So many things can happen. We have seen before our very eyes. So better he just die now. Now he's engaged in spiritual life. He will go back to home, back to God. So say, now you die immediately. Then he saw the saintly person. He said, either you die or you live. Doesn't matter. The saintly person, he's in his living, he's serving the Lord. He's serving the Guru and the Vaishnavas and the Lord. And dying, he will go to the spiritual world and again serve Krishna and the devotees. So either he lives or dies, it doesn't matter. Because he's already liberated living in this body. His body is simply full of service. When he dies, he will go to the spiritual world and enjoy more service. So either you live or you die, it doesn't matter. Then he saw the butcher. He said, neither you live nor die. Living his life is abominable. Just like in Canada, they have a law that anybody engaged in the meat industry, he can only do the butchering for so many months. Then he has to be transferred to the canning section or some other section. Because they have experience that these people, they become a little crazy. Just seeing blood every day and cutting. We don't even want to discuss in this holy place. So living his life is hellish. When he dies, he's going to hell. So neither you live nor you die. So anyway, point is, king, he will have to suffer 1/6 the karma of all his citizens. So although he's enjoying like anything, he's headed for a very dangerous place. So it behooves the king to engage people not in sense gratification, but in the service of the Lord. He should try to encourage everyone to engage in the service of the Lord. Just like we remember that Narottam Srinivas and Shyamananda, they went on the first traveling Sankirtan party. Just like we do nowadays, we take some big van and we put a false floor to put all the books underneath and we put and make so many arrangements and we go traveling here and there. So Jiva Goswami, he engaged some merchants in Mathura to make a special traveling Sankirtan van with bullock cart, with a big box to hold all the books. So they reach one village in Bengal called Bishnupur. And the king, he had an astrologer. He told him that there's some travelers have come to your kingdom, and they have a great treasure. So the king, he was a dacoit. He was Bir Hambir. Bir already means, you know, veer, very strong, powerful. And Hambir, Ham means myself. Hambir, Hambir, I'm strong and I'm strong. Bir Hambir. So he sent his dacoits, and we know they stole everything. Somehow, the guards, they were in their constitutional position, sound asleep. So the thieves were very easily able to steal this big box. And we can't imagine how broken the hearts were of the Vaishnavas when they woke up and saw the books are gone. Invaluable. That's not like nowadays we just go to the printer and print out so many thousands of books. Everything was done by hand, and these were the most valuable books written by the Goswamis themselves. We can't imagine how distressed the Vaishnavas must have felt. So Srinivas, he stayed and told Narottam and Shyamananda, you go on, I will find out the books somehow or another. So anyway, anyhow, he found out the books, and that Bir Hambir, he surrendered at the lotus feet of Srinivas and became his disciple. He became Chaitanya Das. When you're circumambulating Radha Damodar temple, there's so many samadhis. And you'll come around just before you get right behind the temple, just it starts to go up. There's one many-sided little dome there. That is the maybe real samadhi, maybe Puspa samadhi of Chaitanya Das, King Bir Hambir, and his queen. So he became a great Vaishnava. And he used to encourage. Vishnupur is famous for its devotional art. All the buildings have very beautiful devotional motifs carved on them, or that they didn't carve, they used terracotta somehow, made so many beautiful. And the king, he ordered that everyone become a Vaishnava. If you didn't want to become a Vaishnava, then he gave you some money, you go to any other kingdom, but don't stay here. So this is the actual business of the king, how to promote spiritual life. Because if all the citizens become devotees, then he will not suffer the 1/6, he will enjoy 1/6 of the karma of all his citizens. But nowadays, as Prabhupada points out here, the business is simply how to increase the sense gratification of the citizens. Everybody, every politician, he simply promises, I will give you more sense gratification than the other politician. Just like, especially in India, they always promise that we'll give you a job and a house. We'll give you a job and a house. House means makan. So all my God brothers, they were thinking, they were hearing the slogans, they were thinking that they were promising butter. Butter is makan, and house is makan. So, but our English ear doesn't hear these different subtleties of short and long vowels. They're thinking they're promising butter. So they were thinking the butter is so valuable that the citizens will be very happy if they get butter. And actually, it's a fact. Butter in India is so expensive. No poor man, a common man, is very difficult for him to order. But anyway, they're simply promising sense gratification. So whoever can promise the best sense gratification, he gets elected. And then, once he's elected, then he forgets all his promises. He's just there to get as much money and power as he possibly can. A whole system of the little tiny guy in the office, he takes some bribe, he has to pay to the guy above him, he has to pay the guy above him, and it all goes up and gets to the president. He gets as much, he's just there to get as much money as he can so he can enjoy as much sense gratification as he can. And then when the citizens are not satisfied, the next election, they kick him out, they put somebody else. And this goes on and on and on. They never learn. Hmm? But actually, Chaitanya Das, he ruled his kingdom in a perfect way. He ordered everyone to become a Vaishnava. If you don't want to live like Vaishnava, you can. I will give you your passage. You go to some other kingdom. So we don't. Maybe that's a little extreme, but anyway, that is the idea that we should encourage the king's business is to encourage the citizens to engage in the service of the Lord, because by engaging in the service of the Lord, actually we'll become happy. Here, Prabhupada says, "What is that?" As long as one is engaged in Maya service, he cannot be happy. We see, practically before our eyes, everyone's engaged in the service of Maya. And she's beating us with her whip. More, more service, more service, more service. And we keep serving and serving, and she's never satisfied. She never gives us a break. Always making us serve more and more, enjoy more sense gratification. We just... our heart is burning because sense gratification simply leads to frustration. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is told that happiness in the mode of passion is like nectar in the end, it becomes painful. It's like nectar in the beginning and painful in the end. So we see the more we engage in sense gratification, the more that lust is burning within our heart, our heart becomes more and more burning. It's not that by engaging in sense gratification, trying to satisfy our lust, that the lust becomes satisfied. It is like a fire. Lust is like a fire burning in the heart. And we have seen practically, if you put fuel in the fire, he doesn't go out. He's not satisfied. He grows higher. Sometimes we throw so much fuel on the fire, he goes down. So like that, sometimes we feel a little satisfaction in our sense gratification. But immediately, as soon as the fire goes down, then after some minutes, blazes harder and harder. So like that, sometimes we enjoy sense gratification and we feel a little bit of, tiny bit of satisfaction. But immediately, more and more, and we just become frustrated because we cannot... enjoy as much as we'd like to enjoy. Because we're not this body. So no matter how much sense gratification we give to this body, the soul will never be satisfied. The soul will never be satisfied. So we have to find out what is the satisfaction of the soul. And satisfaction of the soul, because he's spirit, he's not matter, his satisfaction has to come from something spiritual. So the service of the Lord, this is not a material activity. This is totally spiritual activity. Just like there's so many buildings on this street. But this building is completely spiritual because everything here is meant for the service of Sri Sri Panchatattva Prabhu. Even ordinary person comes here and they feel, oh, there's some special vibration in this house. Same wood is there, same glass is there, same lights are there, same iron is there, windows are there, everything is there, all up and down the street. But this house is spiritual. Because here everything is meant for the service of the Lord. So as soon as we engage something in the service of the Lord, then it regains its spiritual quality. Because actually, in one sense, Prabhupada says that everything is actually spiritual. Because material energy is actually it's Krishna's energy. So how it can be material is Krishna's energy. But when we see it for our sense gratification, then it becomes material. And when we engage in the service of the Lord, then it becomes spiritual. People are looking for some, they think spiritual life means some mystic power. Just like I have one god sister, she's no longer in this world. Mula Prakriti. And before she was following some fellow in South India. He was able to produce a gold ring. Suddenly in his hand, gold ring would appear there and your initials would be carved in that gold ring. He did so many tricks. So people think spiritual life means to do some tricks like that. But Krishna has given us in Bhagavad Gita the most mystic power. We can change matter into spirit. Simply we take the same microphone that is used for singing rock songs and love songs and speaking so many useless political speeches, and we use this for glorifying the devotees and Krishna, then it becomes completely spiritual. So everything in this house can become completely spiritual. Just like Prabhupada always gives the example, if you put a piece of iron in the fire, then it becomes fire. Prabhupada says some rascal may come, but it is iron. Then Prabhupada said, rascal, touch it. You may say it is iron, but if you touch it, it'll burn like fire. So it appears to be iron, but because due to the association of the fire, it has become like fire. If you touch it, you'll get burned. So same way, by engaging all this material in Krishna's service, it becomes spiritual. It may look like it is material. Just like prasadam is there, we put tulsi leaf and we say some prayers and offer to the Lord. And somebody may say, what is the difference? I'm eating an apple, you just cut it up and put it on a plate and did some mumbled some things. What is the difference? But it is prasadam. We have practical experience. One time, I was president of a temple in the northwest corner of America called Portland, Oregon. And one godbrother, Bhagavad Acharya, he came with his wife, Kusumapita, who was from Portland. So while they were looking for a place to stay, they were staying with her grandmother. They were staying at her grandmother's house. So one corner, they made a little altar, and whatever they cooked, they would offer on the altar, and then they would always share their prasadam with Granny. And Granny was just a regular American lady. She wasn't particularly religious. She never went to church, but she was an atheist. But she was just ordinary American lady. So they were giving her prasadam every day. So one day they came home, and Granny was on the phone with one of her old lady friends, and she said, "And you know, Mabel, food even tastes better when it's offered to Krishna." So even ordinary materialists could understand this prasadam is not ordinary food. We're changing matter into spirit. This is the great mystic power of the devotees. So if one, by some great fortune, he's got the body of a king. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, this is not a good fortune. This is a bad fortune. Just like we know in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks, what happens to somebody who doesn't reach the goal? Is he finished? Is he like a rent cloud, no position? And Krishna says he takes birth in a very aristocratic family, or he takes birth in a Brahmin family like this. He takes very favorable birth to continue his devotional service. But in Kali Yuga, these types of births, if we become in a very aristocratic family, then we become the worst sense gratifiers. Women hunters number one, drunkards number one, meat eaters number one, everything bad number one we become. So in Kali Yuga, this is disadvantage. But somehow, generally, it is by great fortune that one can get the position of a king. But if he simply uses that position for sense gratification, here Rahugana is saying his duty is to rule. Yes, but how to rule? That is the question. He may have gotten this position by his past karma. He's gotten the position of a king. He's to rule, but he has to encourage his citizen to become Krishna conscious, and he has to punish the wrongdoers. Now we see all over the world, the legal system is such that previously they used to have a saying, the crime doesn't pay. But now everybody's committing so many crime, and then somehow they wiggle around the legal system, they hire some good lawyer, and somehow they get some hardly any punishment. So everyone is becoming criminal. They're saying that this death sentence, this is a cruel and unusual punishment. But we see in those countries where death sentence is there, those places, that there's hardly any crime. People are very worried. If I get caught, then my head will roll. So they stop thinking. So it is the duty of the king. He has to chastise so that the citizens can peacefully execute their devotional service. If miscreants are allowed and the legal system is such that they can just get away with anything, then everybody becomes disturbed and unhappy. So the king, he has to rule, he has to punish. These are his duties. But he has to do it in a Krishna conscious way. And even giving the death sentence, Prabhupada explains somewhere in one purport, that person, by giving the death sentence, he will not have to suffer that karma that he ordinarily would have to suffer. So it's actually beneficial for him. Just like in Zagreb, we are studying all about Manigriva and Nalakuvera. How Narad Muni cursed them to become a tree. But that curse was actually a benediction. Because even though they became trees, then Krishna later came and liberated them, and they got to see Krishna face to face. So Narad Muni's curse was not actually a curse, it was a blessing. So the punishment of the king is beneficial not only to the citizens, it's also beneficial for the criminal, because he will not have to suffer so much karma. So Maharaj Raghuna, he's giving the argument that I have to do my duty. Just like I remember, I was in Hyderabad one time. And it was 1975 when the Krishna Balaram temple was open. So the opening was going to be on Ram Navami. So we made a very long, between Gaur Purnima and Ram Navami, there was a long period of time. So they made a special Pandal program in Hyderabad. First we had Pandal program in Puri, and then we took a train to Hyderabad, and we had program in Hyderabad. And then that big Pandal program was there. So every night, Prabhupada would ask for questions. And somehow, especially the South Indians, they like to hear themselves talk. So everyone would come, he would get a microphone. He says, Swamiji, I want to ask you this question because this question is very important for humanity at large. And because this is a very important question, I want to answer this question because if you can give the answer to this question, then the people will be benefited. So I want to ask this question. They would go on and on and on, just listening to them speak. So finally, Prabhupada told Chittananda Maharaj, you tell them to write it down. So one guy got up there, and he said, Swamiji, we have to do the duty. Bhagavad Gita says we have to do the duty. So we have to do the duty. And Prabhupada said, that is monkey's duty. Monkey's also doing his duty, but nobody's satisfied. Krishna says, Sarvadharmam Parija, Mahami Kamsaradharmam. You give up all these nonsense duties and you surrender Krishna, that's all. Prabhupada was quoting this verse over and over again. Somebody said, what do you think about this Mahesh Yogi? Bros, I do not know who is this Mahesh Yogi. I only know Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Paricha, Mahami Kam Saranam Braja, and I believe it. That's all. So everybody says, you have to do the duty. You have to do the duty. But they forget the other part that Krishna says, but the results don't belong to you. Everybody's doing his duty and enjoying the results of his work. And nobody's offering to Krishna. So just doing the duty, that will not help. One has to do his duty in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada establishes International Society for Krishna Consciousness 50 years ago so that we can do our duties in Krishna consciousness. Because after all, nowadays, because they've made the system so artificial and so convoluted, people have to work so hard just to maintain their family. If somebody can maintain his family, then he's considered success. But dog, cat, bird, bee, fish, everyone maintaining his family without any trouble. But we made such an artificial system. He has to drive 50 miles to his workplace and drive 50 miles in horrible traffic. Just so artificial thing. And they made the system so completely artificial, both husband and wife have to work. Whereas mother, she's meant to take care of the children and raise the children. Women are thinking, we want some challenge. But the biggest challenge is to raise a child. There's nothing, no more challenging work than that. Anybody can run an office. Any rascal can become a salesman. Anyone can do all these things. But only a mother can raise a child. And people wonder why the children are the way they are. Because both mother and father are working. I can remember when I used to come home from school, then my mom was there. He said, hi, Mom. And she always had some nice something ready for me to eat. And she would help me with my homework. Like that. Now the children come home. Nobody's there. So who's their mother and father? They turn on this Ek Ankh Wali Asura, this one-eyed Asura. And they tell their children when they go to school, they said, don't talk to any stranger. Don't listen to any stranger. Don't go near any stranger. Don't take anything from any stranger. And then they put satellite dish on top of their house, and they invite every stranger in the universe to come and pollute their children. Then they wonder why the children are the way they are. We made the life so artificial. This demoniac civilization meant to destroy the family. Biggest challenge in life is to raise a child. If you want a challenge in your life, you try raising a child. It is a big challenge. And if you do it properly, it is a very rewarding challenge. But now they're both, and they're saying, well, we have to provide. But I'll tell you one secret. The children, they don't want your things. They want your love. You give them so many things. Christmas Day, they give so many presents. They play with the presents for a couple of days. Then they forget about them. They don't want your things. They want your love. You try to make your life more simple so that you both don't have to work. This is a whole civilization meant to destroy the family. Demoniac, totally demoniac civilization. So people, if they can just maintain their family, they're considered successful. But real success, Prabhupada says, you raise a child to bow down before a saintly person. He must learn how, just like you see, I don't know if you have much Indian community here in Slovenia, but you always see the Indians when they come to the temple of some Maharajas there, they immediately take the child and put him on the feet, isn't it? Or you've seen in India anyway. This is the proper training, how to bow down before a saintly person, how to engage in the service of the Lord. Prabhupada always said that, quoted that verse, Pita Nasyat, Guru Nasyat, don't become guru, don't become father, mother, any type of teacher, unless you can liberate your underlings from the cycle of birth and death. So it's not simply doing the duty, it's doing the duty in Krishna consciousness. So Maharaj Rugana is arguing that I'm doing my duty as a king, my duty is to order you. But Prabhupada points on the purpose. He's simply ordering the king to do sanskrit, to carry the king. Sometimes, especially kings, they're very fat, so to walk is a little difficult. So for his sense gratification, he's got so many people to carry him here and there, just for his sense gratification. So the real point is that what we have to do our duty, but we have to do it in Krishna consciousness, and we have to offer the results to Krishna. Because everything will be taken away at the time of death. Either we offer it now, or at the end of life, everything will go anyway. Just like our Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings, Manasa deha geha jo kichu mor arpilum duapade nandakisho. Manasa, my mind. Deha means, we know body. Geha means house. Jo kichu mor, whatever is mine, arpilum duapade nandakisho. I'm offering everything at your lotus feet. Because why do we fear death? Because we know death is going to take everything away from us. And we fear because we're a thief. Just like thief takes something, he's always worried. The police are going to catch me. Somebody knocks on the door. Maybe that's the police, you know. He sees somebody, it looks like he's following him and talking on his mobile phone. So maybe they're following me. He's always in anxiety. But good citizen, he has nothing to fear. So we're always in anxiety because we're thinking this is all mine. But as soon as I offer it to Krishna, then death will come and he will take everything. At the end, nobody can stop. Death comes and everything is gone. But if we offer everything, like Bhaktivinoda says, offer everything to the lotus feet of Nandakishore, then death will come. We have nothing left. We have nothing to take. We've already offered everything to Krishna. We have nothing to lose. It's not that devotees aren't going to die. We'll also die. But Prabhupada gives the example of the cat. The cat, she catches the mouse where? Right on the neck with her teeth. And Prabhupada made funny sound. You can hear on the tape. Foot, foot, foot. Mouse is going foot, foot. He's trying to get free. He's feeling, oh, now the jaws of death. And same mouse, same jaws, Same neck, she's taking her kitten, and she picks up kitten and takes it to another place. And kitten, she doesn't go foot foot. She's saying, oh, now my mata's taking me to a clean place. She feels very happy. So devotee's going to die. Non-devotee's also going to die. It's not because we're devotees, we're not going to die. But death for the devotees, oh, now Krishna's taking me to a nice place. So we want to offer everything to Krishna now. Don't wait till you die. Offer everything now to Krishna. Perform your duty in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So any comments or questions? Yes. That Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita, that if you, he says, best thing is you give up everything. If you can't do that, then you work like this. If you can't do that, you do like this. So just like when you go to the petrol pump, because nowadays it's all self-service, but in old days, some young boy was there, and what would he say? Fill her up? He said, no, just put 5 euros, just put 10 euros. He doesn't kick you out. He's already, he puts the 5 euros. He puts the 10 euros worth of petrol. But he always, in the old days, the young boy used to come up, fill her up. So we're always asking you, surrender completely to Krishna. But actually, real surrender to Krishna doesn't mean we give up our duties. It means we do those duties in Krishna consciousness. We don't give up our family, but we try to make our family Krishna conscious. We try to utilize everything in Krishna's service. That is surrender to Krishna. Just like I have a very dear associate named Sarvabhauma, great big fat fellow who was originally from Pakistan, but now he met Garga Muni and Brahmananda in Pakistan so far back. He's a very expert preacher. He had, just like I have so many Leela stories, he has so many little anecdotes to. I have a big bag of Leela stories, he has a big bag of anecdotes to illustrate Krishna consciousness. So one fellow, he came to visit his friend. And he said, oh, you have such a beautiful house. He said, yes, Sab Thakurji, because it's all my lords. You have so beautiful gardens. This is all my lords. My Lord's mercy. You have such a serving wife. That's also Lord's mercy. You have so obedient children. That's also Lord's mercy. They're all Lord's. You have a beautiful car. That's also Lord's car. He came in the house. He saw the beautiful furniture. He says, this is sab Thakur ji ka hai. This is all my Lord's. Then they came to a special room. He saw something shining there on the altar. He said, what is that? He said, that, he's mine. Everything else, that's Lord's. But this one, this little fellow with the laddu in his hand, he's mine. Any other question? So if there's no other questions, we can fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's engaged us in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.